I'm an hour and 46 minutes of my life that I'll never get back, Taylor.
And evil dies tonight. But in this case, evil is David Gordon Green. Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. This week, we watched 2021's Halloween Kills, directed by David Gordon Green, starring James Jude Courtney, Judy Greer, Andy Matchick, Will Patton, Anthony Michael Hall, Thomas Mann, and Jamie Lee Curtis. And you might be wondering why Jamie Lee Curtis, star of Halloween 2018, is last on that list, and it's because she's barely in this.
Wah, wah, wah.
And we are not here to discuss it alone. Guest.
I've got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My name is Jamie.
Yes, listeners. This is, if you're in on the deep sibling lore, this is my brother, Jamie.
You may remember me from my greatest hits, such as Getting Tanked and watching Halloween Resurrection with our brother, our other brother. Or, as Jemmy so kindly referenced, vomiting in a movie theater parking lot and ruining her experience of The Conjuring 2.
I feel like you being the last of all of our siblings to be on the show is very fitting somehow, because this just, it feels like all of the sibling episodes have been ultimately building up to letting you talk shit about Halloween Kills for an
Listen, I needed this. I needed this, and here's why. After I saw this film, after I saw this film, I caught myself writing a long Reddit comment. And I can't be that person. I can't be that guy. I can't allow myself to be that guy. So I had to come on here and say my piece.
Yes, listeners, for those who not in the know, it was Jamie's birthday 5 days ago. And this podcast episode is, in fact, his birthday present.
I deserve
therapy
it.
Session.
It's what I deserve. It's what I need to preserve my sanity.
So we usually start off this show by asking about the memories we have with this movie. Jamie, we saw this movie for the first time together,
yes,
so I'll let you tell that story.
Well, this all begins in 2020. You guys remember 2020. Big fucking bummer.
Vividly, yeah.
Big fucking bummer. And worst of all was that no one could do anything for Halloween. For us horror freaks, nobody could do anything for Halloween. And so for the next year, I was saying Halloween Kills is going to be what makes up for that.
That's so sad.
That's what makes this all so very tragic.
I'm sorry.
It's
I remember
okay.
being like, man, in 2020, there was supposed to be a Saw movie, a Conjuring movie, and a Halloween movie coming out, and that's why God nerfed it.
And yeah, and then.
And then.
So I had a long week at work, and I and my partner Shelby drove down to Rhode Island to, do they know where you live? Well, now they do. To
dox me, I guess.
Go to the movies. And, you know, we were all hanging out. We ended up going to a later showing than we thought we were going to, so we just hung out in the movie theater.
Yes, listeners, this is famously the time when I mentioned that I had seen Black Widow twice, and they all looked at me like that picture of the girls at the party.
I mean, it was well-deserved, my friend.
No, it was.
So we all, like, you know, we're hanging out. We had a drink. I had this little vodka pomegranate bullshit, and it was delicious. So I was like, yeah, I was super hyped. And then I went in to see this movie, and I would like to add a disclaimer that I do know people who think this is a good movie and enjoy this movie. And honestly, more power to you. I'm so happy for you. Continue to enjoy it. And now that I have that disclaimer out of the way, this movie spat in my face and ruined my life. I'm not fucking kidding. It was
going into this movie, I was like, I was so, first of all, like, I think we were all ready for this to be a good movie because Halloween 2018 was so fucking good. And
yes,
I sat there for the longest time in this movie. I'm like, okay, this is not so great, but it'll get good soon. You know, there has to be a point where it gets good, right? And it never happened.
I feel like that is very much the Halloween Kills experience, is like sitting in the theater, or I guess in your house or wherever you watch it, just kind of being like, it's got to get good eventually. And then it just never does.
It only gets exponentially worse, actually.
Yeah. It just proceeds to spit in your face. Like, I feel like the spitting in your face thing, Jamie, is actually a perfect way to describe this movie. This is very much spitting in the audience's face.
It feels so it hates Halloween fans, I think. in a very personal.
Specifically, you. It hates you.
It hates me, malicious. Jamie. Okay, so yes, it was really a bad time. I had a very bad time.
Yeah, we all walked out of that theater extremely depressed,
just miserable.
I saw this movie. So, okay. The backstory to me seeing Halloween Kills in the theater was that I was also very excited for it. Even after hearing that it wasn't good and seeing like all of you guys' negative reviews on Letterboxd, like I saw one after the other. I saw like, oh, God. Like Jimmy, Jamie, Shelby, Jace. Like I saw all of your negative shit on Letterboxd. And I was like, I have liked movies that my friends have hated before. Maybe it'll be good. I was still holding out hope.
You were so hopeful. I was like, Taylor, I respect you, but it's just not good.
So I, in like the, I think 4 days prior to seeing Halloween Kills, like mainlined every Halloween movie.
Love that.
Ever made, this. Except for the two Rob Zombie remakes, but all of the like main franchise. I guess there's like 5 different timelines, but like, you know, the ones that aren't Halloween and Halloween 2 directed by Rob Zombie, all of the like old ones. I watched
Man That Killed My Son.
Yeah. I watched every single one. It rotted my brain a little bit.
I remember this vividly.
I don't know
getting
why
the Resurrection must have been like quite a time. I actually like Halloween Resurrection better than Halloween Kills, and that's true.
I mean, Halloween Resurrection is at least a fun movie to get tanked to.
Oh yeah, great time.
I was not drunk during the viewing of any of those movies, so I think some of them might have been improved by getting drunk during them. But, like, I think that that offered me something. I think that softened me on Halloween Kills a little bit. Because, okay, I hear the silence right now.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you mean? Like,
please elaborate.
What do you mean by that?
I feel like it made me think, like, well, Halloween has had so much stupid shit in it that it kind of gave me more perspective, if that makes sense. Where, like, a lot of people, I guess, if you're going into Halloween Kills thinking of it as, like, this is the franchise, like, this is the only, like, anything. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but, like, I feel like if you've just mainlined every single other Halloween movie, it makes you sort of appreciate the fact that the Halloween movies have always been stupid as shit, and like, yeah, this movie sucks, but like, so do a lot of other Halloween movies. This isn't like world ending, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. I feel like I might have had that same experience if
However,
I had done the same
it
thing.
It is quite bad, but I don't think that I had quite the same, like, I will never be happy again reaction to it. Because I had the perspective of having watched all of the other Halloween movies and being like, well, this is just kind of a dumb franchise.
Yeah, I think we had just come off doing Halloween 2018 on the podcast, actually, because I still haven't listened back to that episode because I remember, like, we were talking like, oh, man, Halloween Kills is going to be so good. And I'm like, I can't face that again.
That was, I think, one of the first ones I listened to of you guys.
Do It Stink Origins.
Do It Stink. Oh, my God. God, right. Such a good meme.
Shall I give our listeners a brief summary of this movie?
If you must.
Yeah, go for it.
First off, actual summary of this movie is that nothing fucking happens. Yeah. Anyway, the nightmare isn't over as unstoppable killer Michael Myers escapes Laurie Strode's trap to continue his ritual bloodbath. That's a wording. Injured and taken to the hospital, Laurie reunites with Tommy Doyle, the boy she was babysitting on the night Michael began his reign of terror. As Laurie continues to fight through the pain, Tommy leads an angry mob of vigilantes to rise up against Myers and destroy the evil once and for all. And if you think that sounds stupid as shit, it is.
It is. I'm going to try not to dominate the conversation because I have so much to say about this movie that I don't like.
Can we start off with positive things?
Oh, I actually want to start off by saying the reason I think this movie is as bad as it is.
Okay.
And it's just a little bit of background for our listeners, because you two already know this. Mm-hmm. But when Halloween, the reboot as a whole, was pitched, it was pitched as 2 movies. But, like, trilogies are the done thing these days. So I think the studio pressured them into making it 3 movies, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay. So, like, every time you see an interview with the creatives who make a thing and they don't like something about the production, but they're also like signed into an NDA. Like, you have to kind of read between the lines to understand what the hell happened. And the vibe that I get from interviews with David Gordon Green et al. Is that the studio like strong-armed them into a trilogy, and nobody wanted to make a trilogy.
Yeah, and when you told me that, because I came out of Halloween Kills like baffled, I was like, how was this movie so bad when Halloween 2018 was so good? And then you mentioned this, and I was like, oh, well, that makes total fucking sense. This is a movie that isn't supposed to exist. This is a movie that they just shoved a bunch of shit into so that it would pad out to like an hour and 40 minutes, when it was probably only supposed to be like, what, maybe the first quarter of the second movie or something like that?
Probably.
And it's also why nothing fucking happens in this movie, because, you know, things build, question mark, but they're never resolved, because it's fucking, like, it's not, it's a midquel. It's supposed, it's not, you know, that you have to build up for the finale, but if you're making a midquel that you never planned to, it just falls apart at the seams. Anyway, we can, I just wanted to have that bit of context going in, because hearing that after seeing Halloween Kills completely recontextualized, like, everything that I thought about Halloween Kills.
No, it absolutely does. And here's the other thing that I want to say before going forward. I don't think that the people who made this movie are untalented.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
That's the thing. Like my hatred of Halloween Kills is not grounded in I'm not saying that the writers are bad writers, or David Gordon Green is a bad director, or the actors are bad actors. I think this is genuinely just a case of, like I said, these people were strong-armed into a trilogy. They were like, well, I fucking guess if the bigwigs at Blumhouse say that we should do it, we should. And so it just, this movie is low effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I never want to come across as, because I understand how hard it is to make a movie.
Of course.
I know that I may be being too nice, but I did just want to say that up front. This is not...
I'm not saying that the people
who made this movie are untalented. They are very talented. A lot of them made Halloween 2018, which I like very much.
I think it's good to have a little bit of too nice to contrast my hatred and vitriol.
Yeah, Jamie, you're like the devil on Jemmy's shoulder.
I am. I truly am.
It's about to be Starbucks, and the gay barista is about to get mean.
Oh yes, you fucking bet.
All right, let's talk about things we like. Okay, I think the kills in this movie are pretty cool.
They're phenomenal. I love them. I think the best part of this movie is the kills.
I agree with that.
One of the things I said when I saw this movie for the first time is like, this is a good slasher, but it's a bad Halloween movie.
Oh, 100%.
The music's good.
Well, yeah, it's John Carpenter.
Exactly.
So it sounds very good, and even when shit is dumb, you're kind of into it. There's a little bit of adrenaline, but also you want to die.
I genuinely thought that they like CGI necromanced Dr. Loomis. The actor's name is Donald Pl- We did this before. Fuck. Dr. Loomis. I thought they CGI resurrected him, and they didn't. It was prosthetics, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I saw some behind the scenes stuff of the prosthetic process for Dr. Loomis, and it genuinely shocked me because it looks really, really good.
It does.
I also think that burned Michael looks pretty cool, and I thought it was pretty cool when he walked out of the fire. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'll give it to him.
I just want to congratulate Jamie Lee Curtis on this movie, because she walked in, laid in a hospital bed for like a few days, and then collected her check and left. And like, good for her.
Secured the bag.
Good for her. Big John and Little John. Love them. Oh, I know. I know they're controversial, but we're saying the things that we liked about this movie.
Okay, that's
and I'm
fair.
The one who's too nice here. And I'm going to say I like Big John and Little John. I think they rule and they're the best.
Love to see gay people in Halloween.
I love to see gay people in Halloween. Okay, I'll let you say whatever it is about them once we move on to the being mean part of the podcast. But I want to say that I like Big John and Little John.
I have a positive. I think the concept of horror freaks moving into the Myers house is pretty cool. Like, that's a good concept for me.
I just love middle-aged gay men who hate children.
Fair.
It just, like, they're just funny. Like, I don't know. Like, the comedy in this movie, a lot of it landed for me, but the stuff that didn't flopped so hard. That's how I feel. I feel like the stuff with Big John and Little John was funny. Okay, sorry.
Please don't feel bad. It's okay.
Yeah, no, you're the angel, Jamie's the devil, I'm the one who's trying to sell their soul to somebody.
I just think they're neat.
That's fair. I do love gay people, period.
I also love
We're
gay
the best.
People.
I'll say something. I like the concept of bringing back old actors from, like, the first movie. The first, like, movie. I like the concept. The execution, not so much, but the concept. Like, their hearts were in the right place when they did this initially.
I like the idea that Tommy and Lindsay and Marion meet up in the bar every Halloween. That's cute. I like it.
Lori's there too.
But like the thing is that Lori is there too. I just think that's conceptually very cute. Again, like I feel like we keep saying I like the idea of this. I like this
Halloween
on paper.
They had so many good ideas.
The execution is bad.
Yes.
So bad. I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis is great as Lori. She has a shit. She has nothing to do, but she's great. I love her.
She's always great.
Andy Matichak and
Judy Greer
are great as always. I love them.
Again, they also have nothing to fucking do.
Nope.
But
but they're carrying the stuff that they are doing. They're carrying. We love them.
Everyone in this movie, every actor is at the very fucking least trying their best.
God bless them.
They tried for us.
I have issues with how they handled Tommy Doyle, but I think that the casting of Anthony Michael Hall is very good because he looks exactly like what they were going for, which is like, as Chris Fleming once described it, like atrophied JV muscle kind of guy.
Fuck.
Yeah. Like dude who definitely has his like high school sports trophy still in his house, like that, like votes Republican kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that guy.
Like he looks like that guy. And I don't know, maybe Anthony Michael Hall is probably a very nice person in real life. I don't want to say probably, he might be. I don't know him.
Could be.
We don't know.
He could be or
Roll
he could be
nice.
But he looks like a Republican townie guy. For sure looks like a Republican townie guy. So the casting was good there, I think.
I think that's all we got for nice things to say about this movie.
Shout out to Kyle Richards for not getting Botox for a couple of months so that she could like emote with her eyebrows in this movie. That was a hard sacrifice and she did it for us.
Good for her. Thank you, Queen. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I think we've held Jamie back for too long. Please.
Okay.
Go off, King.
Okay, so what I wrote down is this movie fucking loves the police.
Oh my god, it sure does.
But I don't think it's that simple. I don't think, because it does. But then it, like, gives these fucking half-assed, like, concessions where, like, there's one part where Lori's like, the system failed tonight, or whatever. So it's trying to be, like, even-sided or whatever, which is just fucking gross and awful. It's just...
But it's not the system is the thing. It's a bunch of randos doing mob justice. So, like, having Lori say, oh, the system failed tonight. Like, it wasn't the system, though. It was a bunch of weirdos.
Right. Totally. It's just, it's completely inconsistent. And it's just a question that I think I need to ask. Is the angry mob good or bad?
Jamie, the movie doesn't even know.
The movie doesn't know if the angry mob is supposed to be good or bad. Because the angry mob is bad when it kills that guy, when that guy jumps off the, and it's all gross and disgusting. And you know, if you're a slasher guy, it's a good kill. But then at the end with Michael, when it's like beating up Michael, it's supposed to be good? Question mark. Is the angry mob good or bad?
This movie is deeply, deeply confused.
Politically confused, I would say.
Oh, for sure. There's the scene with the two cops and he accidentally shoots the guy, which that goes nowhere. But only to, like, just remember, kids, when cops lie, it's always for a good reason and they always have the best of intentions. Smiley face. It's fucking unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, can I say one more thing that I like, actually?
It's so bizarre, that scene. Sorry. I'll let you
know.
No,
I just want to say one more thing because we're talking about this scene. I do think the little parallel at the end with like the cops surrounding Michael to like the first movie where his parents were pulling the mask off kid Michael is kind of neat.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
I think it's a neat little parallel. But yeah, sorry, go on. Can I air my biggest grievance with this movie?
Sure,
I would love for you to air your biggest grievance with this movie, Jemmy.
This movie wants me to think.
Oh, no.
That Laurie Strode would ever, ever kiss a man.
Right?
And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That's just wrong. And I know this is subjective. I know this is quote-unquote headcanon, but I can't forgive this movie for that.
Heterosexual Laurie Strode is actually objectively wrong. That's my, how I see it. Objectively incorrect.
You're going on record and saying that yes. Heterosexual Laurie Strode, bad.
Did you all hear me?
True. I'm really afraid of what they're going to do with that in the next one. I'm not going to lie.
Nothing good.
I didn't even think about that. Fuck. Oh, God. Am I going to have to watch it?
Yeah, like there was nothing, like there was barely a hint of something in this movie with them. I'm really afraid that they're going to do more in the next movie. I don't want it.
Sheriff Man needs to die. I'm sorry.
Please.
We need to sick
for
Michael
all of our
on
sake.
We need to sick Michael on this man for the good of humanity.
Like a rabid animal.
What? Okay, can we talk about Karen? Not just ending, but like the everything with Karen?
Sure.
You know what gets me about that?
Tell me.
So, like, the father character in Halloween 2018, Ray, I think his name is, was, like, nothing. He was, like, a comedy goblin side character that we really had no deep emotional attachment to. But this movie wants us to have had an emotional connection to him with, like, all this stuff. Like, oh, he's always with us. He's watching over us. Like, yeah, but he was just comic relief side character, nonsense side character in the first movie. Why do we care? Like, the only reason I care is because I like Karen and Allie, and I am sad that they're sad. Like, I had no connection to fucking Ray, other than, like, he had a few jokes in the first movie that landed.
My biggest issue with Karen in this movie is that, like, so remember in our Halloween 2018 episode, when I kind of went off at length about how nuanced Karen is and how, like, she's not one thing or any other thing. Like, she has, much like Laurie herself, she has flaws. She's not right all the time, but she is right about some things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This movie just completely throws that out the window and makes her into just, like, she becomes, instead of coming across as nuanced, she just becomes whatever the plot needs her to be at the moment.
Definitely.
Whether that's like when she needs to be part of the angry mob, she's part of the angry mob at the end. But then when the movie wants to call out the angry mob, she's like, look what you did. This is your fault. Like she has no consistent characterization because she just is whatever the plot requires her to be at the moment.
I mean, that's an issue that a lot of characters in this movie have.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Like, I think Allie suffers from that, too.
Allie is not even anything, though. Allie is just kind of, she's the load. She's just dragged around.
Meanwhile, Laurie is reduced to a background prop who spouts platitudes.
Remember the first movie when, like, and like, generally speaking, I don't like doing the, like, comparing first, like, sequels to first movies. I think a movie should stand on its own. This movie does not fucking stand on its own. This
By no means.
This movie couldn't even lean on its own.
This movie is coasting on your goodwill from Halloween 2018.
Completely.
So I don't feel bad comparing the two. Like, remember in the first movie when, like, the whole big thing was like, oh man, Laurie Strode is back, Jamie Lee Curtis is back in the franchise, Laurie's doing all this cool stuff, and she's also, like, a really nuanced character. She's not just, like, you know, fucking Sally Hardesty in Texas Chainsaw Remake.
Yeah,
oh my god. Embarrassing.
You know, just toting a gun for no reason. Like, she's a character and she's really interesting, and you come to this movie to see her as much as you come to see Michael. That's nowhere to be found in this movie.
Yeah, it's like the writers didn't know what to do with her, so they were like, nah, throw her in the hospital.
Just stick her in the hospital bed and do fuck all with her.
Until you need her to make a dramatic monologue.
And here's the thing, like I understand objectively that they were like, oh, we'll do kind of a Halloween 2 type of thing where she's in the hospital. Hey, the thing about Halloween 2 is that Halloween 2, Laurie is not the main character of that movie.
Also, the thing about Halloween 2 is that despite not being the main character, Laurie is still proactive in that movie.
That's true. She is, like, getting up and, like, walking around and doing stuff.
And like,
but she's also not the main character of Halloween 2. Loomis is the main character of Halloween 2. But this movie doesn't have a Loomis.
Yeah, we killed Dr. Cartain.
It does, for 2 seconds.
Oh, I guess it does have Loomis for 2 seconds. But no, but like, you don't really feel Laurie's demotion from protagonist down to secondary character, at least I don't in Halloween 2, because Halloween 2, you sort of get the sense that like, okay, we're slightly shifting perspectives here. Like, yes, we're still going to look at what Laurie is doing in the moment, and she is still doing things, but now our protagonist is Dr. Loomis, and we're following him and figuring out like what he's doing on this night to kind of move forward from here and try to capture Michael Myers. And it feels like a natural extension of the way that the first Halloween ended. And I really, really like Halloween 2, and I think it's a very good movie, and I think it's a great case study in how to do a sequel really, really well. This movie just takes none of that. The superficial idea of like, okay, Laurie Strode's in the hospital, but they don't understand what it is about Halloween 2 that made Laurie Strode is in the hospital make sense as a place to put your character.
Completely agree.
And I honestly thought the hospital was going to be more of a setting like it was in Halloween 2.
And it's not.
They're trying to, like, evade Michael in the hospital or something like that. Because that's what all the promotional material had, like, Laurie walking around the hospital with a knife. But actually, she only does that for 5 seconds in the movie.
Yeah, it's sort of this weird fake-out, like, listen, I have mixed feelings on Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. But even Rob Zombie understood that, like, if you're gonna do, like, Laurie is running from Michael in the hospital, go the whole hog with it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And make it into like a big action horror set piece and have Michael like busting heads in the hospital.
Exactly.
Just doing it to do it is not gonna work.
It feels so superficial. It feels like they're kind of trying to be like, hey, remember Halloween 2? And it's like, well, yeah, but like, what That's about Halloween 2 was good? Do you remember any of that? Like, I don't know. It's just stupid to me.
Totally.
That's also the impression that I get when it comes to bringing back the old characters, which is a thing that I like conceptually, but on paper, it's just like, hey, we have all of these like old actors from the or old characters or old actors from the first Halloween movie back in 78. Now look at them, you know them. Now we're gonna kill them all unceremoniously because we don't actually care.
It makes me so sad to see them all fucking die one after the other. I was like, okay.
All at once, too.
Undignified, like, Marion? Like, what a horrible, undignified death for her.
It was so strange that it was all at once in that, like, playground scene. I was like, you're not gonna at least save a couple of them until the end?
Yeah, Tommy was the only one that made it to the end, right?
Yes.
Tommy and, Lindsay.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Did she? I didn't even remember.
Yeah.
Something that bothers me very much is scenes with Michael killing a bunch of people at once, like the mob scene at the end and the firefighter scene. That just feels so wrong for Halloween to me. Like, I feel like what's scary about Michael Myers is that he stalks people and isolates them and gets them at their most vulnerable. It's just not scary to me. For him to just like demolish a bunch of dudes at once. Like that's just not, it doesn't feel right for a Halloween movie.
Yeah. To me that feels very Jason of him. Like Jason.
Exactly.
Like, Jason's entire thing is he's big. Michael has never really been that. Like Michael is big and he's strong, yeah. But like you said, he's a stalker. That is his like whole thing. And when you completely remove that aspect of him, it's like, is this even really a story about Michael Myers anymore?
Yeah, those scenes feel very fan servicey.
Like, oh, how cool, Michael's killing all those guys. And you know what? It's fine. If you love that, you love that. Fucking more power to you, but I don't like it.
I do think him bringing down that fucking saw on that firefighter is pretty cool. But again, like you said, it's just not in line with Halloween.
Why was Sheriff Brackett just like there?
Good question.
When Sheriff Brackett showed up, I was like, he reminded me his whole vibe. And like, listen, this is not a dig at Charles Cyphers. He's old as fuck.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He was middle-aged in 1978. Like, he is old as fuck. And so he's like sitting there in the middle of the hospital. He can't do very much because he's old as fuck. So he's like sitting there like Mermaid Man being like, "Ew."
Not Mermaid Man.
Am I wrong? He looks like Mermaid Man.
You're very correct. I actually was trying to put my finger on it, but you're so fucking right.
He looks like Mermaid Man. But like, he can't be up and running around. Because
he's an old man.
So he can't be a part of like any of the action set pieces. So he's like sitting all the time.
He's just there to secure the bag.
So that they can be like, "Look, it's Sheriff Brackett. Like, remember when his daughter was killed by Michael? Like, yeah, I do.
Remember when you once felt joy watching a movie?
Remember Halloween? That was good, right?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking cool, right?
By the way,
here's the thing.
I do just want to say before we move on, the scene of Sheriff Brackett seeing them take the cover off of Annie's body, that shot is in fact from Halloween 2. It happened.
Halloween 2 happened!
Oh my god!
That shot, and like the only reason that I know this is because I had just mainlined all of the movies in a row. That is not a shot from the original Halloween. It is, in fact, from the beginning of Halloween 2.
Doesn't that completely ruin the continuity? Because in the second one, I mean, in 2018, they were all like, "No, it's bullshit. He's not her brother."
Yeah, but the thing is, Jamie, Halloween 2 did happen.
No, I'm with you. But
it happened!
Whatever, it's not fucking CinemaSins.
Anyway, I did want to point that out. That is like that's a good thing about this movie, is that it accidentally canonizes Halloween 2.
I also forgot about a good thing that I enjoyed, which was the scene after the playground scene where he's stalking that lady whose name I don't remember.
Lindsay.
In the woods. Lindsay, my bad.
That is a very good scene because it gets down to the essence of Michael Myers, which is like stalking people.
Like, that's scary. That's what Halloween should be.
It's scary and it's good.
The thing about this movie versus Halloween 2018, and again, yes, I'm comparing them. Suck it up. Is that Halloween 2018 is, I don't want to say beholden to the source material, but it references the source, the first movie very frequently.
Halloween 2018 can't exist without the original Halloween.
Exactly. And
that's fine.
But like, but also it is a movie that stands on its own. You know, like, I feel like while Halloween 2018 can exist without Halloween, you could feasibly watch Halloween 2018 without having watched Halloween and have a pretty good time. You could not watch Halloween Kills without watching Halloween 2018. And I think that's not good. I think it's very, this one is beholden to Halloween 2018. It is, as Jamie said, coasting off any goodwill you have for Halloween 2018.
I want to know why in the fucking goddamn hell they said, "You know who needs to be like a secondary protagonist of this movie? The little kid that Loomis like yelled at and scared outside of the Myers house and who like bullied Tommy."
Totally.
Like they were like, man, like he really needs to be like one of the supporting leads of this movie. Like Lonnie, for real?
We talk about the flashback at the beginning because I remember watching this movie for the first time, and when like Halloween 1978 popped up on the screen, I was like, "Oh, cool! It's a flashback to the, you know, the original."
Yeah, we all went apeshit. Let's
like,
be honest.
It was cool. Like, it was cool for 5 minutes, and then it was like, "Oh, this is still happening. This is oh no, this
it just
is boring."
Keeps going.
It just keeps fucking going, and it's like to be like the only, and you slowly realize that the only reason it's there is because we need to set up, like, Lonnie running into Michael Myers and the fucking cop shit.
So much cop shit.
So much cop shit.
Too much cop shit in this movie.
Okay, am I crazy in thinking that Cameron being Lonnie's son was, like, a retconned thing for this movie? Or was it established in Halloween 2018 and I just didn't remember it?
It was established in, like, a really brief throwaway line from Ray, the dad, who was like, "Oh, yeah, Lonnie's kid, he used to sell me, like, Lonnie used to sell me peyote."
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Okay.
Yeah. Can we talk, like, why is Cameron still here?
The whole he's cheating on her or whatever plot from the first one, that was, like, fine then, but, like, it's never even referenced. It's referenced once. He's like, I really screwed up with Allie, and then that's it. And then he dies at the end, and it's like, okay, good job, guys.
There's a scene, and I think I remember this from the novelization of Halloween 2018. In the original movie, he was supposed to just get arrested.
Oh, word? Okay.
For some reason, I don't remember why, and, like, taken off, and that was, like, his whole thing. Like, I guess he would be out of the franchise at that point, and I feel like they had to retcon that scene or take it out because they were like, oh, fuck, we need this kid for the next movie.
We need to pad this shit out further.
Yeah, because God forbid this character not be, like, there are so many fucking characters in this movie.
There's so many fucking characters, and none of them are the protagonist.
No!
Oh, God, so true. There's
no... This movie has no protagonist.
No focal point.
Aimless. This movie is aimless.
And it just makes this movie feel so fucking long. And, like,
oh, God,
so
yes.
I saw the movie The Batman in the theater, which is, like, 3 hours long. I did not check my watch as many times during that as I did during Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
Me and Jemmy watched this together, like, a couple of days ago for this podcast. And, you know, we were writing our notes and shit. And about halfway through the movie, both of us just, like, stopped writing. Like, we were just physically fucking exhausted.
I have 3 pages of notes for this as compared to famously Cats, I had like 7 pages of notes because there's just so much to say. I just fucking stopped. I was like, I can't. Like, there's nothing to say about this movie once you get, like, a few points out. Like, I know we've just been talking about it for 40 minutes, but, like, it's just nothing. It's a nothing movie.
It's so fucking exhausting to watch, truthfully.
I would like to have a brief conversation about Mr. Mental Patient.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh, boy.
Number one. This character is truly just like, did the director just look him in the eyes and say, okay, you're playing like a nameless escaped mental hospital patient. Why don't you just use every ableist stereotype in the book to play
God,
your character?
God, so fucking true.
We need you to be as offensive as possible.
We need you to be like grumbling under your breath, twitchy, alternating between shouting and whispering weird shit under your breath. Like, he's every person's idea of what, like, a scary person who's, like, escaped from a mental hospital is. It's so, like, I'm not even, like, really offended by it because, like, it's so ridiculous that it's kind
goofy.
Of hard to be offended by that.
And it also makes the character extremely difficult to, like, you know, connect and sympathize with the way you're supposed to when
you're
supposed to be
horrified. Yeah, that's my problem. He doesn't have anything to him other than this collection of stereotypes, and it just makes it so impossible for you to feel anything when he dies horribly.
That was actually the point when they were, like, chasing him up the stairwell. I remember sitting there in the theater and just, like, giving in. I was like, oh no, this is a bad movie, isn't it?
Because remember, kids, any action outside of the state apparatus will do more harm than good. God, I fucking hate this movie.
It's true, though. This is a movie about how mobs are bad. But, like, what is a mob? I don't know.
But
people who try to hunt down an escaped serial killer, I guess.
But also sometimes they're good, ? When they find the serial killer.
And they're sure this time that he's the real serial killer.
Can we just
for
talk,
some
like-
reason.
So what this movie is saying is not that mobs are bad, but that mobs need to be better at being mobs.
Be better, mobs.
Just be better at it. Take a class or something, you know? Just like...
Well, that mob was one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, Jemmy.
It's really bad. It's bad.
Sorry,
out there.
That was awful.
It's bad out here.
Also,
I'm banging my head against a wall.
Even just on, like, a surface level, borderline CinemaSins-esque criticism of the movie. So you're telling me that that whole mob thought that this short, kind of heavy-set guy who is very non-threatening and not doing anything to, like, menace anyone is Michael Myers. Is that what you're sitting here and telling me?
Yeah, this dude is just kind of, like, standing around and twitching.
When we were in the theater, when Tommy Doyle was like, he wears a mask, how do we know it's not him? Somebody behind us just goes, because Michael Myers is 6 foot tall.
It's true, though. Like,
Michael Myers is huge.
He's a big boy.
Like,
also, like, okay. Yeah, Michael Myers, quote unquote, wears a mask, but, like, he's been in a hospital for however many years without his mask. Like, people know what he looks like.
Yeah, I can only imagine there were, like, news reports or something.
Wasn't there a picture on the news report?
Has his face never been on the news?
I noticed that on the news report when they were showing it. It blurred out his face when it was Michael, but it was, like, just that it wasn't in focus. So presumably they all know what his face looks like.
Yeah, so his face has been on the fucking news. Why would no one know what he looks like? It's so stupid. Fuck this movie.
Fuck this movie. Fuck this movie, guys.
It's Can we so talk about tiring. Like the weird race stuff with the two Halloween partiers?
Okay, first off, well, before we say this, they fucking wasted Julian. That kid was one of the highlights of Halloween 2018, and they only had him in, like, a little TV spot, not saying anything funny. Like,
I was so mad! I was like, oh, you brought Julian back and you didn't do shit with him! He was fucking hilarious in the first movie!
That's what they like to do, bring people back and do fucking nothing with
them. How dare you, that kid was a fucking star.
So true.
He was so good. Anyway.
I didn't like how, and maybe this is not my place to say these things, but, like, it felt like every skit that a black comedian has done where they're like, white people in horror movies do this, but black people do this.
Yes, yeah. And it comes from a very weird place when you know this was mainly made by white people.
Yes, yeah. But like, it's funny when the black comedians do those bits because they're speaking from a black perspective to a black audience, presumably. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Like, but when you have a bunch of white writers trying to do that same bit, it just comes off as fucking weird. Like, what are you doing, dude?
I definitely agree.
Mm-hmm. It's just fucking weird.
Like, and those characters are also just don't amount to anything either.
Like,
because
none of
these characters can have a satisfying arc of any sort. I know that might be strange to say about a slasher, but, like,
there were characters with arcs in the first movie. That was a slasher. Characters have arcs in stories. It's just how storytelling works.
Fucking crazy when you think about it.
Pretty kooky crazy.
Yeah. This movie... Mythologize? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
word.
Taylor. It's very so bad. True. It's very bad. But this movie mythologizes Michael Myers so much. And
oh,
it's like,
God.
I think in writing Michael Myers, you have to kind of walk this tightrope balance. And Halloween 2018 did this very well, where, you know, Michael Myers is a force of nature. He's a hurricane. He's a natural disaster. He destroys everything in his path. But he's also just a guy. He's just a weird guy.
He's just a weird little freak.
He's just a freak. And, like, all the, like, monologues from Laurie about how, like, this was Michael's grand design. It's like, no, he just, he doesn't.
He's just doing his thing.
That's not,
I mean, who can blame
that's
him?
That's not Michael Myers. Like, Michael Myers is just, like.
That
he
is,
has no design. He just kills people.
That is something that really bothered me also, is that. I hate when movies make the effort. I hate when movies make the effort to humanize Michael. That's never worked. It's just never worked. Like, and it's not necessarily a bad idea, but it's just never worked in the past. And on top of that, they both humanize him and then have, like, basically have characters saying, looking straight at the camera, he needs to die because he's inherently evil. And that just sends another fucking really weird political message. Like, okay, I guess some people are just born bad and they deserve to die. Anyway, it's just not right. None of it is right.
Not to mention, in Halloween 2018, there are characters who attempt to mythologize Michael Myers and to make him into this, like, larger-than-life, like, puzzle that must be solved. And those are the true crime podcasters, and they are summarily, like, murdered, like, unceremoniously for their troubles, and narratively punished for having that opinion about Michael Myers.
Yeah, the movie itself is like, hey, look how fucking stupid these people were for trying to mythologize Michael Myers. And then Halloween Kills just does that.
It's like Halloween 2018's thesis, I guess you could call it, although I don't know if that's the right word, but, like, I feel like that's the closest I could get to saying what I want to say, but, like, what Halloween 2018 has to say about Michael Myers is that, like, you can try to do whatever you want with him. At the end of the day, he's just a guy who likes to kill. He's just a really strong guy who likes to kill. And no matter what, he's like, given the opportunity, he's just going to continue to do that. This movie is like that, but like way more extreme. And in that, like, Michael Myers is like a robot with programming where like he needs to go back to his house.
He needs his mask.
And like, for some reason, you can always count on him to go to these exact locations. And once you figure out that that's where he wants to go, like, there's no way to stop him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's always going to go to these places and do these things and get to his house and try to get his mask and do whatever. And stand in his fucking bedroom window and look out the window and, like...
Oh, I hate that so fucking much.
Where he killed his sister or whatever. And it's like, Michael Myers, they literally act like he's, like, a robot with, like, programming that can be predicted once you, like, figure him out.
The whole thing about Michael Myers is that he's scary because he's unpredictable.
Unpredictable! Meanwhile, this entire movie hinges on unlocking the puzzle of Michael Myers. And then, like, the whole thing falls into place once we realize, like, oh, he's going to his house so that he could stand in the spot of the room where he killed Judith or whatever. And it's like, okay, this is completely the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
We never get an explanation for that fucking window shit.
No, because
he's set on a track like the characters in Five Nights at Freddy's, obviously.
Of course.
The slasher killers do get a little freaky at night.
But yeah,
just picturing Michael Myers doing that, like, Five Nights at Freddy's, like, or.
As you should.
I think the movie would have been better if he did that.
I agree.
Yes. The movie would have been better if he did anything other than what he does.
The movie
would
be better if it wasn't a movie.
I'm like exhausted right now. I've been thinking about it for so long.
I was thrown in the garbage.
I feel like a husk of my former self.
This movie would be better if it was condensed into the first quarter of Halloween Ends, like it was supposed to.
Please, for the love of God.
Why did we need the cop guy? I know I keep going back to this, but why was he necessary?
Because the movie wanted to drag him out in front of the audience and be like, hey, look, it's this guy from the first movie, and then do fuck all with him.
Because this movie just loves the fucking police for some reason. Like, it's sending an obvious political message that's so fucking muddled and, like, worthless. Also, it's a bad one. Like, it's not even a good political message, first of all. Second of all, it's muddled and worthless and, ugh.
The thing about this movie is that, like, it's trying to have, like, a quote-unquote political message, but it is also simultaneously neither liberal or conservative.
It's a deeply centrist
movie. It is a deeply centrist movie. And it's like, you cannot have it both ways. You can't have a movie that tries to be political but also refuses to take sides. That's not how that works. I feel like I would respect this movie more if it was like an openly conservative, like, we fucking love the cops type of movie.
It would at least make sense.
Yeah, like at least, like, stake your movie on some kind of political message, even a wrong one. Instead, it's just like, sometimes it's this, but sometimes it's this, and it's just like, ugh.
Both sides are bad. Okay, thank you.
So stupid.
Halloween 2018 had things to say about trauma and generational trauma and...
You sound like Jamie Lee Curtis in the Press Junket interviews.
Yeah.
And she was so right for
and
that.
She was correct. This movie has
trauma.
Halloween 2018 had so much to say about generational trauma and the relationships between families that are sometimes broken by serial killers.
It happens.
You know what I mean, though? Like, it so clearly knew what it wanted to say, and it said it in a way that resonated with a lot of people. This movie has fucking nothing to say. This movie thinks it has something to say, but it doesn't.
All it has to say is some people are born bad and they should be killed. The end. Okay, thank you.
Like, cool. Is this a eugenics movie?
Yeah, it might be.
It doesn't even care enough to give, like, it, again, like, if this was, like, an explicitly being, like, Michael Myers is inherently evil and needs to be killed, like, if that was the point of the movie, then I would be like, well, this sucks, but at least it has something to say.
At least I understand.
This movie has nothing to say. This movie is what happens when a studio tells creatives, we need you to make another movie and turn your two-movie plan into a trilogy because we want to make more money.
When I heard the line, I don't remember what it exactly is, but it's like, Michael's made monsters out of us all. I swear to God, I fucking literally put my head in my hands in the movie theater.
I can attest I was there. I'm pretty sure I just like sighed and like leaned back.
Like, okay.
Like, girl,
Michael has no grand plan. Michael just wants to kill anything that he like finds. That's it. He has no grand plan. He's not like, you know, masterminding turning this town into a center of fear or whatever. He doesn't care. He just wants to like kill things. He's just a weird freak dude who wants to kill things.
The one thing, not the one thing, many things about this movie made me mad.
So I think we should end.
Lord of the Rings ruined movies.
You know what ruined fucking movies? This is what ruined movies. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows fucking ruined movies.
Thank you.
Fucking ruined movies.
That's what I'm fucking saying.
Every single fucking YA thing going on after that had to have a two-part fucking ending, and it never worked. Didn't even work for Deathly Hallows. Didn't work for Twilight. Didn't work for fucking Hunger Games. Like,
a movie needs to have rising action and a climax, please, for the love of God.
But the executives saw, like, oh cool, we can make more money like this, and we're like, well, we need to like squeeze as much fucking content out of these as we possibly out of everything as possible. As much as we possibly can. So everything is going to be a trilogy or have a sequel or fucking, I don't know. Like, oh, storytelling? You want to storytell? Fuck you. Fuck you. Write a trilogy.
Yeah, I think I hate movies now.
Movies suck.
I do want to say, for all that we have fucking lambasted Halloween Kills on this day, I am, at the very least, and I cannot emphasize this enough,
don't say it.
Cautiously.
No! Jemmy, we fucking did this last time.
No, we didn't. We were full on, like, optimistic for Halloween Kills.
That's what I'm saying. We can't even be optimistic. We can't put any energy, good or bad, into the world regarding Halloween Ends. We need to just be neutral.
Okay, fine. I will say this.
We simply need to say, que sera, sera.
Here's my energy going into it. It will end.
It will be a movie. Dude, it sure will.
It's gonna end.
It will be a movie. That's all I'll say.
This too shall pass.
Since I'm being silenced by my co-hosts.
I won't let you jinx it, Jemmy. I won't.
Can you give me some live laugh letterbox, please? Can you give it to me?
Yeah, Taylor, I think it's about that time. I think we've depressed ourselves
enough. Can you hit me with it? Can you hit me with it before I fucking jump off a bridge?
God, you know, since you asked, I would love to hit you with some live laugh letterboxed. So for those of you who are new to this podcast, first of all, I'm sorry.
Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
Sorry you had this as your first episode. Please go listen to the other ones. They're a lot more fun.
I'm so tired.
We're usually nice. But I do a segment called Live Laugh Letterboxed where I read funny letterboxed reviews, which I've culled from the depths of the internet. This one had a lot of good ones. So, 24 frames of Nick says, 25 kill streak, Michael, call in a tactical nuke. 2.5 stars.
So true.
So I'm glad that 24 frames of Nick had a good time with this movie. I also need to mention that was in all caps, but I feel like that you could have inferred that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie says, Michael may be a murderer, but at least he wears his mask over his nose. 2 stars.
So true, King. We love a social distancing King.
This person, Muriel, just says he really tried to stop Michael Myers with a fire hose, LMAO. And they didn't give it any stars.
Just, that's the whole thing.
Marmar says, Haddonfield deserves to be cursed every single Halloween night for the rest of eternity. I hate this idiot town and I hate these idiot people. 1.5 stars.
Yeah, so true, I feel that way as well.
Mattia says, it's not realistic. Gays would never look for an intruder in our house. We run away from a bee. 2.5 stars.
Thank you.
True. So true. So fucking true.
Vern says, when Offset wrote, I cannot vibe with the queers, his pen was guided by Michael Myers.
Homophobic Michael Myers moments.
I'm just picturing those, you know, those like pictures that like weird Christians have of like Jesus guiding their hand. Like, I don't know, when they're driving or something. I'm just picturing that, but with Michael Myers guiding a pen to say, yeah, I cannot vibe with the queers.
Oh my god.
I hate it here, guys.
I'm so sorry if I say your name wrong. Nadinesi? Nadinessie. Nadinesi, I think, is the name. But they say, Michael Myers was so sexy and brutal here. Don't even talk to me if you think otherwise. 3 stars. So I'm glad they had fun.
That's very fair.
Fed the horny
like,
people.
Like, that's fair if you just are in it for some Michael Myers dick. I mean, if that's you, that's you.
That's the one thing I love this movie is that if you want to fuck Michael Myers, this movie is feeding you a 3-course dinner.
And you know what?
Yeah.
God bless you.
Like, I forgive some of the stuff, and never mind. I'm going to move forward.
You don't want me to know your track record. You don't want me to comment on this.
This movie kind of did turn me into a Michael fucker. Like, I was kind of, like, if you listen back to the Halloween 2018 episode, I was kind of Michael fucker curious. I'm now fully in there. I have, like, made the character development step.
It happens.
This movie kind of partially did do that to me, so I guess, sure.
Called it.
I'm so proud of you.
It's fine. Speaking of Michael fucking, Aaron says, I could fix him. 3 stars.
I could make him worse.
that's the correct opinion to have, is that you could make him worse. Belle says, genuinely think that if Paul Rudd was Tommy Doyle, he could have killed him. 3 stars.
Agreed.
Fair. Very fair.
And finally, Ty says, we got Chucky being a gay ally and Michael being a homophobe all in 1 week. What a time to be alive. 3 stars.
Gender fluid.
Iconic.
Gender fluid.
Everyone has to take their stand now.
I do have one more.
Freddy is definitely homophobic.
For sure.
I do have one more review, and this person, Saul, just says, James A. Janisse is going to have a field day with this.
And he did.
They didn't give it any stars, but, like, I feel like that wasn't so much a review as just a statement of fact, so
it's true.
Didn't need stars. Speaking of stars, what are you guys giving it?
Fucking zero. This movie ruined my life.
Half a star.
I'm fine.
For Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm fine.
I'm going to repeat what I did on Letterboxd. I'm going to give it 2 stars.
I can't That's fuck with so you anymore. Generous. I'm sorry.
I understand.
God bless you, but I can't fuck with you anymore.
I feel like the kills were so good that
That's fair.
It stops me from, like, as angry as I get about this movie, like I said, there is a lot of talent that went into this movie, and there are times when that talent shows, which is, like, the most, like, caveated compliment anyone has ever given to a movie, I think.
Damning by faint
damning,
praise.
Yeah, I'm definitely damning this movie with faint praise, but yeah. 2 stars, okay. Because there was talent involved in the making of it, and sometimes you got to see that talent. But
I think this is the first time that we, like, have had 3 people on here with, like, different ratings for this. 0, 1/2 star, and 2 stars.
Good for us. We love diversity of opinion.
Oh yes, truly. Oh yes.
All right, that will do it for us this week. Jamie, thank you for joining us.
You are so welcome.
Thank you for airing your grievances.
I feel like shit.
Thank you for airing your grievances. We would love to have you back for a movie that you actually enjoy.
Please.
One of these days.
Let's do that. Let's
do
that for sure.
I really want you on to, like, have a nice episode where you get to talk about a movie. Like, I feel unfair that we brought Jason to talk about his favorite movie of all time.
Oh, I asked for this. As much as I feel like shit, it was very cathartic for me.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah,
we could help
you. Happy birthday. I hope you enjoyed
your therapy session.
Thank
you. It was amazing. It was wonderful. Had an amazing time.
All right, listeners, next time we will be watching 1972's Dracula, AD 1972, Taylor's Choice.
This movie is insane, and I love it so much, and I'm so excited for all of you. I'm just inducting you into, much like the plot of Dracula, AD 1972, I am inducting you into my Dracula cult, all of you collectively.
I'm personally excited for it.
I'm here for a Dracula cult.
Jamie, have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh, you're in for it.
Seen a lot of Dracula's, but not that one.
All right. Until then, you guys can find us at FGF Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Jamie, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
You can find me on twitter.com, the bird app, at FREDDIETRMPR. It's a reference to a musical no one's ever heard of. God bless.
Much love and God bless.
Peace and love on planet Earth.
And we will see you next time for Dracula AD 1972. Bye, guys.
Bye.